every ounce of it to give to him. Okay, you must decide who you're going to choose in this and who you're going to follow. Not one foot in the world and not one foot in heaven. Or I'm just sitting on the fence. A man who invests in me said, he said, sitting on the fence, said, Mark, don't you ever forget, Satan owns the fence. Satan owns the fence. Put your feet on both sides and make a decision. Either put your feet back in the world and start living in your sin, or take both your feet, put them on God's side and start standing for God. Okay, no middle ground here. Eric Harris came back outside. Rachel was laying there, grabbed her by the nape of the neck, took her, pulled her head up, and looked at her and said, do you still believe in your Jesus? Turned her over, executed her in the back of the head. Okay, she was shot 9 different times. She was a 17-year-old girl, weighed about 90 pounds, a little tiny thing. Okay, she wrote in her diary, though, she had written, I put one the quotes in one of my books. She wrote in there, if I have to go to school every single day and stand up for my best friend, what's his name? Jesus Christ, and I lose all my other friends, he is worth it. He is worth it. That's the type of faith I read about in the Bible, okay? See, that young lady still speaks to this day, and she's dead. You know why she speaks? She spoke with her life. She spoke with her diary. She spoke when she talked with people about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I plan on speaking at my funeral, and I have no plans on being there. I'll be long gone, okay? I plan on speaking there because I'm going to speak with my life. I'm going to speak with my lips about Jesus Christ. I plan on speaking well after I'm out of this place, okay? Do you want to speak at your funeral? I'd love to speak at mine, wouldn't you? Okay, you can speak at it, but you must speak with your life. Does Satan even want to try to take you out? Or does he even say, I don't even need to waste a demon on that man right there. He's doing nothing to affect me. Or is he saying, uh-oh, I got problems in Indianapolis now. What are we going to do to try to stop these people? Because you know anything about battle or war, he can send demons and try to stop you. But in a battle situation, if he sends reinforcements over here, that leaves open an opening somewhere else, right? And if you're really looking worldwide and worldwide missions, if we all just start standing up like that, there's nothing he could do to stop Christians who do that. Nothing. Okay? But am I going to be part of that team that does that? Watch what it says. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast you out as your name is evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Okay? When do we normally rejoice in life? When what? Something good happens. Okay? You score the last second shot in a basketball game. You rejoice. Maybe at least once in a lifetime pass a calculus test, you rejoice, okay? It happens so rarely. But you rejoice when something good happens. Your Bible says rejoice what? If you ever get rejected, why? Great is your reward in heaven. Folks, where are you storing up treasures at? Here on earth that can't make it past the grave? Or you're storing up treasures ahead where you're going to be spending all of eternity at? You don't retire here. You retire there. A buddy of mine just turned 65. People call me and say, getting ready to retire. He said, retire? He said, refire. I'm going to get more excited about the things of God. I'm closer to dying now. My time is less down here. I must make my stand for Jesus Christ. Isn't that the right attitude? That's the right attitude, okay? I spoke at a Christian high school. This one teenagers, these teens got so serious. They just memorized this verse. They just memorized it. So when they were out and about, if they ever got rejected. Now you have to remember, when you're out witnessing, you very rarely get rejected because lost people live in the same world you do. And isn't this place just a little bit crazy? This place is crazy, okay? I'm telling you, okay? From wars to tsunamis to Katrinas, this place is a little bit nuts. Now see, the world doesn't know what's going on. I know what's going on. We're one day closer to Jesus Christ coming back than we were yesterday, right? Yeah, I got that much figured out. I don't know when, but I know that much, okay? So I know what's going on. They don't know what's going on, okay? They have questions, okay? These kids, if they ever got rejected, they'd walk away. The kids would go cha-ching. They knew they were ringing up rewards in heaven. Okay. They would high-five each other and move on to the very next person. Like, what's the big deal? We know what the scriptures say. Okay. We just stand up for the Lord. What's the big deal? Watch what happened. The very next day, I'm at the same school with the kids, and the lady gets up to give the announcements, and she says, and the girls' softball team won yesterday. Well, I'm sitting on the front row with some senior girls, and all of a sudden, a girl looks at me and said, excuse me. I said, yes. She said, we didn't win yesterday. Like, okay, is that like a big deal? She said, well, we've won 116 straight girls fast pitch softball games at the school. Girls had not lost in 2.5 years. They'd won 2 straight state titles. These girls were tough, all right? Very first day on their campus, that I'm on their campus, they lost, okay? So I felt real good about myself. So I asked the girl, I said, well, did it bother you? She said, oh, absolutely not. Now, wait a minute now, okay? I was an athlete. I'm very competitive, okay? Losing that game would have hurt, okay? I said, why didn't it bother you? She said, oh, we had so much fun at the game yesterday. I said, what do you mean? She said, the catcher on our team witnessed every single batter that came up during the game. Okay? the first base girl witnessed to everyone who made it to first base plus the umpire. I know defensive linemen that witnessed to offensive linemen during games. I know I know wide receivers who witnessed to cornerbacks. I got an email from a college basketball player. When he's on the free throw line grabbing his trunks, he'll start witnessing the person next to him, okay? Because one, it's going to help you in one way. It's going to throw them off their game, so it's going to help you anyways, okay? But you just get a chance to witness them, okay? But watch what happened when I looked at these verses. Accepting Christ is a good situation. Planting seeds is a good situation. Rejection, if great is my reward in heaven, what's that situation become? Good, just like that. Accepting Christ is a winning situation. Planting seeds is a winning situation. Rejection, if great is my reward in heaven, what's that situation become? 11 years ago in one summer, just in one day in one summer, God taught me that every single time I share my faith in Jesus Christ, it's a winning situation. When God taught me that, I began the process of getting out of my comfort zone, okay, and literally started making a bold stand for Jesus Christ, not concerned what people thought about me. I got a letter from a teenage girl. She was an 18-year-old girl. She heard me at a Christmas conference, and she made it her goal to witness to one person a day. It's all she was going to do, one person in school, one person on the internet, one person in a coffee shop, just one person a day, okay? So what she did was she printed a sheet of paper, and all this sheet says is, did I witness to someone today with a big question mark? So did I witness to someone today with a question mark? That's all she did. She printed out different copies of this. She was a public school girl. So she took her public school notebook. She put one in the front of every single notebook at her school. All right, so the very first thing she sees in every class is, did I witness to someone today? In the letter she wrote me, she said that she couldn't tell how many times another student would look over and say, excuse me, what does that mean? Did you witness to someone today? So she turned into what? Yeah, witness to that person. She said this little piece of paper opened up more doors for her, okay? But she just set a simple goal. She decided to step out and do that. I know teenagers who have decided they were going to witness to every single person in their graduating class, and they knock them off before the end of the school year. Make sure they get every single person they're going to talk to. See, that's a mindset. See, what's interesting, though, is what we do is in the business world, what do we do, men and women? Right? We set goals, we put it out there, we go accomplish it. We don't even think that way as born-again believers trying to reach a world for Jesus Christ. I spoke at a youth group up in Minnesota. These kids got so serious. It was wild. These kids almost all went to the same public high school. So when they came back to their youth building, they put poster board all along the wall, just put a bunch of poster board up. They listed every single public school teacher, 9th through 12th, and a separate sheet for the administration. So they listed all the administration. They listed every single student under every single teacher. Okay, ready for this? In 3 months, every single student, every single teacher, every single administrator had a one-on-one conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. They came in every Wednesday night. They began to tell stories, began to pray for people. They check them off the list. Okay, who are you going to witness to this week? Started praying. These kids literally went into their whole school and talked with everybody in their school in 3 months. Okay? I know youth groups. I know a youth group in Alabama that does it every single year. All right? Their goal is for every senior who graduates, they've heard the gospel at least 4 times by the time they graduate. All right? Think about that for a second, okay? Unbelievable. And then when someone got saved or born again, where'd they plug them into? That church. Why that church? That church was doing something. That church was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Aren't there certain churches you don't want to plug them into? Because they'll become lukewarm and mediocre like us, okay? But shouldn't it be that we couldn't wait for them to get into our Bible study group, wait to get in our men's group, because you come into this group, you're in trouble now, okay? We're going to serve the Lord, and iron's going to sharpen iron, and man, you're going to grow like you've never imagined before. Shouldn't that be the mindset, though? Think about that for a second, okay? I spoke in New York at a conference, and there's a pastor there, but this pastor used to be a youth pastor. Watch what this youth pastor did. He took over a youth group that had 12 kids in it. Okay, 12 students, all right? First year, he grew it to 4. 12 kids, he grew it to 4 the first year, all right? He got rid of all the pizza, all the yo-yos, all the Six Flags, all the video games, ditched it. Got Bibles out, started reading, started worshiping, started praying, started working at homeless shelters, started street witnessing, things the Bible said to do. Ready for this? 3 years later, they're running 1,500 at his youth group. He used to take his youth in school buses, all right, and drop them off at strip clubs in Chicago. Okay? And your parents let your kids go to this youth group, by any chance? Okay? Drop them off at strip clubs in Chicago. The kids would get off the bus, circle the strip clubs in a circle of prayer, and begin to pray those strip clubs out of Chicago. He told me 6 of them have closed down. 1 closed within 24 hours after his kids showed up. Okay? Let me tell you something, okay? When you serve a God that big, that can do mighty big things like that, that's a God you want to serve every single day. So what kind of God do you serve? Do you serve a God that can part the Red Sea? that can walk on water? What kind of God do you serve? And it tells me by the life that you live what kind of God you serve. Okay? See, those kids serve a mighty big God. And there was